Good morning, church.
Good morning.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And this is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is a day that the Green Bay Packers play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right, Kurt? And we will rejoice, or somebody's going to rejoice for that day. I had to say that because Kurt reminded me with his Green Bay jacket. So, this will be a special time of greeting, which I always love greeting, but this will be a sad time, too, to say goodbye to Violet and John and to Mary. Also to say hello to a few people, Dave and Angela, welcome here. And to say hello again to Nora's brother, Jeff, and Brianna, I guess, is back with the kids. So let's take this special time to greet everybody in the name of the Lord, and certainly give everybody a holy hug and a handshake. Let's do that. Did everybody get their quota of hugs? Did we miss anybody? If so, we can do this again if you want.
I need
a few more. How many here remember the bullies in high school and grade school? Those are the ones you feared because if you got close to them, they would verbally and physically abuse you. Whether you were tall or short or heavy or slight, they would make sure that they would kind of pick you out of a crowd. And certainly when you're like me in high school, 6'4", 145 pounds, it were certainly hard to hide. And sometimes I was in lockers, not because I was hiding, it's because I was placed there. Bullies were big. They were mean. And their whole power base was intimidation. And then you had their henchmen. Do you remember the henchmen of the bullies? The ones that just weren't quite there. You know, without the bully, they'd be just like you. You remember that, don't you? And their courage came from the bullies that were in front of them. And they too liked the power and the strength. And they also liked the security they gained by being with the bullies. Because they knew that behind that protection, nobody was going to get them. And nobody was going to abuse them. You see, those who wanted safety and to be free from the bullies would join this group. And they were protected. And they shared that power base. You know, that power base that I'm safe. Sadly enough, these henchmen, these followers, were never safe, were they? They sold themselves to the legions of these bad guys. And in many ways, they had more fear and were made more captive because there was no way of escape. Have you ever tried to ally with a bully and the bullies and kind of run away from them and be like the other guys? It's not going to happen without more fear and more abuse and more punishment. So if they showed their independence, the leader or head bully would humiliate them and make them more powerless than when they lived in fear outside of the gang. Have you seen this? Do you remember some of this? I sure do. And there was that way of escape. Especially if you had a bigger brother. Anybody here had a bigger brother? That was a way of escape. But so were good teachers and good parents. Those that loved us and that would do anything to protect us. Seems like a funny story, yet doesn't mankind ally with the world and the bullies a lot? then we tend to run to everyone and every group for protection except our Almighty God. Except the Almighty God who is our protector and the ultimate deliverer. He is bigger than a big brother. He is a big God. So today we're going to cover a story, the story of Ahaz, who was the king of Judah. And we're going to talk about the choices that he was to make on behalf of himself and the nation of Judah, which was the house of David. He too had a choice to make, and that was whether to run to the bullies and be in that security to safeguard him from the world, or to run for God, or run to God for an answer, the God of his fathers. And that's a choice he had to make. So I call this sermon, Try Me, You'll Like It, or the sign, Emmanuel, God is with us. And our scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to read verse 1 through 17. So please turn to your Bibles. Chapter 7. If you don't have a Bible, we do have pew Bibles. And we're going to get into chapter 7, verse 1 through 17. Please excuse me for any pronunciation of Hebrew names, but I will try my best. But before we start, before we read the scripture, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is with us. Go ahead and do that. Amen. Amen. I like this crowd today. We believe this stuff, don't we? This is good stuff. Good stuff. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear-Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of those two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger risen in Aram and of the son of Remaliah. Aram and Ephraim and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid to waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people, on the house of your father, a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you, sometimes caught between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes having to make the choice of whether we run with the world or we trust in you. We come many times without that faith, that firm faith when we don't have that firm faith, we kind of get blown away and we shake and we quiver as Ahaz did in the nation of Judah. Lord, help us to receive your word today, to learn a lesson about running with the bullies versus running with the Almighty God. Bring your anointed spirit upon all of us, Lord, so that we can apply these words to our lives and that we can stand tall for the kingdom. More than anything, Lord, help us to realize that the prophecy of Emmanuel, God with us, happened in this scripture, a prophecy for that day and a future prophecy of the birth of Christ. So I lift myself up to you, Lord, as a broken vessel trying to pour out to this congregation your word of life. Just help me do that in your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I read to you a conversation of God with Ahaz, the king of Judah. So here's the deal. The deal is this. We have the Israelites broken into two factions. 10 of the tribes of Israel went north, and they were called the northern tribes. They were also called Israel. 2 of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were in the south, and they were called the tribe of Judah. Now, just as a quiz, what tribe was David from? From Judah, right. So therefore, what tribe is Christ from eventually? From the tribe of Judah. Okay, you're doing good. Okay, so we had 10 tribes go north, and they were called Israel. 2 tribes went south, and they were called Judah. So it happens the Assyrian Empire, which was a mean, mean empire, was jeopardizing that whole area. So Syria and the northern tribes, which was called Israel, got together and plotted against Judah. They plotted against Judah because they wanted Judah to ally with them, and Judah would not do that. They would not join forces. So definitely Ahaz felt like he was in between a rock and a hard place, because here was Syria and the northern tribes at his door trying to take over Jerusalem. And at this time, he harbored the thoughts of allying with the bully, and that was the Assyrian Empire. Unfortunately, his focus wasn't on God. It was on safety, security, a power base. And it was not on God's promises. So which side did he go to? He went to the Assyrian side in this impending doom of attack against Judah. And he and the people of Judah, so says Scripture, were like leaves on a tree, fearful for their lives. It is at this point that Ahaz, in desperation, went to the Assyrians. He was consumed with fear. He was desperate. It was more about saving himself, and believes that alliance with another fierce enemy is better than destruction. So at this point that God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and tries to persuade Ahaz to do things God's way. And we begin the conversation in verses 3 and 4. Huh. No sermon PowerPoint, huh? 3 and 4. Ah, there it is. Verses 3 and 4, where God sends Isaiah to calm Ahaz down. And God directs Isaiah to tell Ahaz, don't panic. You know, be cool. Be careful. More than anything, be careful. Be careful who you ally with. Be careful who you run to and you run with. Watch what you say. Make no promises to the enemy. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. God is saying this through Isaiah. God is saying, you have me. Why are you running to the enemy when you have me? Stay cool. Stay calm. Be careful, because there's danger in aligning with the bullies, right? There's danger. Don't lose heart. You can just imagine what Ahaz was feeling when he saw Syria and northern tribes at the gates. Some say that Syria took 150,000 people or men, and the northern tribe took 200,000 and killed that many. But God is saying, don't fear. And certainly don't make an alliance with the Assyrian Empire against them. More than anything, God is saying, try me. Try me. Don't give up the independence that I gave you as a sovereign state of the house of David, Judah. Don't give that up. So the Lord, you know, God does get frustrated with us, doesn't he? Doesn't he? So the Lord tells Ahaz through Isaiah, ask for a sign. If you don't believe who I am, ask for a sign. And get this, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. The Lord is saying, ask a sign. If you're fearful, come to me. I will give you a sign. Just come to me. Are you going to see God? You know, come to me, try me, make my day. He probably said that before Clint Eastwood said that, right? Make my day. Give your God a chance to save the day. The God of Judah, I'm the one who has your best interests in mind. Not the empire of Assyria. Not Syria. Certainly not the northern tribes of Israel. Give me a chance to show my faithfulness to you and keep you from the enemy camp. The Bible Dictionary defines a sign as an event addressed to our senses to attest the existence of a divine power. It could be visual, or we could hear, or we could smell it. Often extraordinary events were given as a sign to ensure faith or demonstrate authority, like the parting of the Red Sea or the feeding of the 5,000. And God asked Ahaz, more or less, give me your best shot. Make the request as deep, or as high. That's the limit you have. Ask for a sign. I am limitless. Can we say that, limitless? Limitless. I'm limitless. Some translations, which I like better, say, you know, give me ask for a sign that is as high as heavens and as low as Sheol or hell. How high is that? How deep is that? And I can just see God say, come on, Ahaz. Try me. Make your request deep, wide, and high. I am your Lord God. And nothing but nothing is impossible to me when you are between a rock and a hard place. Isn't it funny how we try God's patience? It's funny that Ahaz tried Isaiah's patience as well as God's patience. Because at this juncture, Ahaz said the most outrageous thing And that is, he will not ask and put God to a test. In his piety and his humility, he says, I won't put you to the test, Lord, because that's just not the right thing to do. Meanwhile, I'm sure God is just shaking his head. And poor Isaiah, this was Isaiah's first charge after he told God, send me. And poor Isaiah says, you know, God's telling me this stuff. I'm not making this up. God's talking through me. Why are you trying my patience? And why in the world are you trying my God's patience? Why are you doing that? What we look at a humble reply was most likely an act of unfaithfulness. Some say that he felt that the God of Assyria was equal to the God of Judah. Was equal. How do I know that? Because in 2 Kings, Ahaz goes to the Syrian Empire. He gives them the gold from the temple. He copies their altar, their worship altar, and he takes it into the temple and puts it right beside God, the God of Judah. To him, it didn't matter. God is a God. And Isaiah says, it's bad enough that you try the patience of man, but why would you try the patience of God also? But his true reason, though, for declining was his firm, steadfast resolve not to do God's will, but to negotiate with the bullies. And not to take the chance of losing his power base, his kingship, his crown, but to be in the protection of the Assyrian Empire. He had total unbelief in his own God, the God of his fathers. And he wouldn't permit any evidence. He wouldn't even want a sign because he didn't want to see a sign. He had his mind made up. Don't give me a sign. I got my mind made up. I'm taking control of this. I'm going with the bullies. Verse 9 cautions Ahaz, saying, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Wow. That will preach, won't it? If we don't have a firmness in our faith towards God, we have no faith in anything. But you know, even through this, he still had an opportunity to hold fast to God. But he had no firm faith. But because of God's love, basically God said to Isaiah and Ahaz, I'm going to send a sign anyways. I don't need people to ask for a sign. I will send a sign. I will send a sign that will not only be for Ahaz's days, but will be a future sign to all mankind. Some believe, when you read this, that the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. They thought this might have been the son of Ahaz, or it could have been the son of Isaiah himself. But this was a promise to Israel that Syria and the northern tribes were not going to take over the land. They will not take over the land. When you read the Old Testament, Much of it is a foreshadowing or a shadowing of what's going to come in the future. If you want to read about the Messiah, the Messiah of Christ coming, that's coming to us to save the world, you can see it all foreshadowed in the Old Testament. So when people say, well, that was for Ahaz's day, not for today, you say, no, that was a foreshadowing of what was going to come in the birth of Jesus Christ. See, there's a lot of prophecy that's kind of telescopic, which means you keep on reading things that sound familiar about this Christ. Sort of like a shadow. You see an outline. It follows you. You see that outline, but you don't see the full robust picture of the person. Well, that's the way the prophecy was. The prophecy, you would see a shadow of it happening in that day, but you won't see the full proportion until the prophecy is fulfilled. And this Emmanuel did indeed appear 700 years later to deliver the house of David from their plight. And that was the telescopic prophecy that came true with the birth of Jesus in that manger. And what was the future of Ahaz? And what was the future of Judah? Well, what happens when you run with the big boys? What happens when you run with the bullies? Well, Judah became captive. They were stripped of all that they had by the bully, by the friendship that Ahaz had with the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrian Empire did destroy or help destroy Syria and the northern tribes. Ever hear about the lost 10 tribes of Israel? That's the northern tribes we're talking about. And when Assyria took those tribes, he scattered them as far as the east was from the west. And he moved them out and he put different people in. So that today there is no 10 tribes of Israel, just the 2 tribes of Judah. But what I'm saying here, that instead of putting his trust, instead of Ahaz putting his trust in the God of his fathers, he put it into the world. And the world scooped him up and destroyed him, shaved their heads, which was a sign of humiliation, took all that they had, made them a starving nation. Do you realize God has the same conversation with us on a daily basis? There are times we're between a rock and a hard place, and he's telling you, be still. Be careful. Be calm. Don't ally yourself with the world. Don't do things that's not godly. Be still and know I am God. And if you let me, I will help take control of your life. And don't lose heart when you're caught between a rock and a hard place. He's saying to us daily, trust me. Don't take shortcuts with your life. If you make alliance with the world or Satan, you will be more captive than ever before. And you will go deeper than ever before in that rock and that hard place. And he's asking us, let's be firm in our faith. Let's be firm in our faith. He reminds us that we can depend on him and not the world. In this situation, we get ourselves in between a rock and a hard place. He's able to give us a sign and a miracle. I love the scripture that Beth had read about knocking on the door. And asking, you shall receive. God's nature hasn't changed, has it? Because that's a New Testament scripture. And in your despair, there's no limit what he can do. So we can ask for a sign with absolutely no limits, as deep, as high and wide as we want it, to keep us from the enemy camp, because he doesn't want you there. He wants to walk with us. He doesn't want you to take shortcuts in life. We do that. We take these shortcuts in life. We run to sin because it was the easiest way out. We'll run with the bullies. We'll do what they say. We'll say what they say. And yes, we'll even run to their gods, won't we? Sin is a funny thing. I've read this before. I think I've preached this before. That sin takes us further than we want to go, keeps us longer than we want to stay, and costs us more than we can pay. And that's a fact. And let's not feel too proud to say that we respond the same way that Ahaz responded, with our unbelief and distrust. And it leads us not to even ask for miracles. Oh, the miracle stuff. Well, that's for those people. You know, that's for those people. Sometimes we're afraid to let go of the world, aren't we? I'm comfortable in this security. And less fearful in our own little kingdom of sin. We like that. We hang on to it. That's our secure place. And we place more trust in things or people or the world's God. As things change, Ahaz gave equal weight to the God of his fathers and to the Assyrian God. Doesn't that sound familiar today? We all have the same God. The Buddhist God, the Hindu God, they're all the same God. What does it matter? It matters a lot. Because this God says, ask what you want as deep and as high as you want to go. We like our toys. We like control. We like our addictions. And would rather become friends with this world to keep them rather than run to the Creator to get out of our rock and a hard place. And the end of the story, if we continue that, is just like the end to Ahaz and Judah. And the world, like the Assyrians, will rob us of our wealth, power, prestige, and will hold us captive, and we remain sin to it and our sins for a long time. You see, Satan and the world is out to kill and destroy us. And there's no question about it. But the good news is, the great news is, that the prophecy has been fulfilled 2009 years ago. And whether we ask for a sign or not, or a miracle or not, he still sent his son. Sent his son to earth to be God who will be with us. A son born to us to get us out of that rock and a hard place. This will be the Messiah who will walk with us and talk with us and demonstrate his promises by going to the cross for our sins. He will free us from that captivity of the world of sin. He will restore us as heirs to the kingdom. And he will take away from that rock and a hard place, or take us away from that rock and a hard place, and set us free from that crevice of panic, fear, insecurity, and despair. And ultimately, he removed our sins by his death on that cross, so that we may no longer be held captive by this world, that we will be free, and free indeed, for now and for an eternity. Josh, will you show that clip? So when you find yourself between a rock and a hard place, trembling like a leaf in fear, what will you do? Will you sell yourself to sin to get out of your predicament? Or will you be firm in your faith? Will you understand that he will give you a miracle or a sign that is limitless, as a higher high and a deeper depth, to prove to you that he is God? Are you ready to trust Him and not the world to deliver you from your plight? 2009 years ago, God gave us a child called Emmanuel. God with us, as predicted in this Isaiah verse I read to you. The question is, are you ready to accept the fact that through Jesus, God was with us on earth, and that we were sent later, the Holy Spirit, to be with us now on a continual basis? Do you understand that this sign was the ultimate sign? An ultimate sign of help and deliverance to us, the sign of Emmanuel, God with us, who taketh away the sins of the world. For the New Testament confirms this prophecy of Isaiah 7. It does in Matthew 1:23, where the Christ child is born, and we hear these words from Matthew saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we present ourselves to you and we hear your words. Help us never to fear to ask for a sign, for us to recognize a sign in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to come to you and not the enemy when we're between a rock and a hard place. Help us to always understand that no matter where we are and where we go, those bullies might be out there, but you're right behind us, ready to protect us, ready to keep us in your arms, keep us in that security away from sin. I ask anybody here today that's between a rock and a hard place that's crying out to God, I ask you to open the door, just to knock, and he will be there. I ask also if there's anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this is a day. The prayer is pretty simple. The walk is pretty tough. Yet he will always be with you no matter where you go. It's a simple prayer. Lord, I repent of my sins, and I run to you and accept you as my Lord and Savior and protector and deliverer, Emmanuel. With every eye closed and head bowed, I'm going to ask whether you said that for the first time, whether you, this is a day of salvation and you said those words, "Lord, I repent of my sins and accept you as my Lord and Savior." If you said that for the first time, I want to pray for you. I just ask you, put your arm up and right back down. Arm up and right back down. The other thing I want to ask is, if you need prayer and you're between a rock and a hard place, I want to pray for you. If you think that there's no way to go but towards the world, now's the time to ask for a sign. So with that, anybody who has felt trapped, I ask you, put your hand up and right back down too, so I can pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I'll pray for you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here today. And knowing that you're with us is no fallacy. It's a truth. We feel your presence here. We ask, Lord, that you remind us each day to ask you for a sign and have us talk to you and be in your presence. I ask a special blessing for everybody here in this Christmas time, and that, Lord, that you will reveal yourself to us and through us in a meaningful way. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.